Before we begin, Heavenly Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit may rest upon us now as we approach the study of your holy word and make that word a living message to our souls through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, good morning, everyone. I think over the last month I've got to know and had conversations with plenty of you, and you've all made me really welcome here. I'm Anna, I'm an Ordnandon summer placement here. And this is sadly my last Sunday on placement at St. Philip's, but hopefully not, you know, the last Sunday when I pop in and visit, since you've already made me feel like part of the family. And this morning, I'm going to speak about the parable of the wheat and the weeds. Following on from looking at the parable of the sower last week, we come now to this parable about the kingdom of heaven. And I think this is a parable, a story about evil and the way we respond to it, about weeds growing among wheat. And I'll take a pause for that word there, because I think in the reading we had darnel. Some of you might have heard of this as the parable of the wheat and the tares. Now, the Greek word underlying this, it's quite fun to say, it's zanion. it just means a kind of weed that they think was one that grew at the time in Palestine that looked really similar to wheat, without actually being wheat. So the wheat and the weeds. This story sets out a world that I think we can recognize, where evil is real and it's present, the weeds, right alongside the good, the wheat. And it highlights the response we sort of want to jump and make, our instinctive response, that of the servants in the story who say, "Do you want us to go and pull them up?" When we see evil, we want to weed it out. But maybe a bit strangely, counterintuitively, this story gives us an alternative to those instincts, where Jesus tells us, instead of weeding, to wait and to be wheat. So that instinctive response to evil, to want to weed it out, it's really understandable that we want to do that, isn't it? We want to get rid of evil, of wickedness when we see it. And a lot of the rest of scripture is quite big on that. But I think the reason we're warned against it is because if we start to think about what us doing that as human beings actually looks like, we start to come against some problems. So we read in the parable the answer the servants get: no. Because while you are pulling up the weeds, you may uproot the wheat with them. And I think we can all think of examples of what that looks like in day-to-day life. Now, I'm sure that you are all very virtuous and kind people, but I myself am extremely judgmental on the inside. And that means that I'm constantly coming up against how my own ideas of a person and the judgments I might have made about their faith, the way they walk with God, whether they're annoying to be in church with, they're being upset by God going, "No, you don't really see what it's like, Anna. Here's what I'm doing with my kingdom, with this person." So I think it can look like judging one another individually. And then there's that judgment that someone's weeds as a group. As the whole church, that's something we've done time after time, isn't it? We over here are the church and the wheat, and they over there are they're calling themselves the church, but they're not the real deal. Forming ourselves in these cliques and excluding other people is sadly such a common part of our witness to the world when we're meant to be known by our unity instead. And then I think there's another really painful way that we do this, and I think that's misjudging ourselves. I think some of us can be complacent about the idea that we're wheat, that we're righteous, that we're good with God, but I wonder if far more of us are convinced that we're weeds and have made that judgment on ourselves, that we're not good enough for God and that God can't love us as we are. I wonder if you relate to either of these damaging ways of judging yourself. So why do our attempts at weeding as humans go so wrong? I I think it's because we don't have the capacity in ourselves to fully understand evil, to find it where it really is, and definitely not to get rid of it from ourselves. It's God, not us, who can do this. So in our Romans reading, we hear that it's by the Holy Spirit, not in ourselves, that we're identified as wheat. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. And I think, again, in our reading, some of us had sons and children at different points. I'd just say that where the reading talks about us being sons, that's actually an inclusive word, and it's meant to cover women as well. And it's quite a radical idea that the women in the church were adopted into sonship with God, just the same as anyone else. So we want to weed. We want to pull up. But Jesus gives us a different instructed response to evil, to wait and to be wheat. Because though we can see that evil is real, though it rends our hearts, the risks of attempting to judge it for ourselves mean we're given a different way to live. So we're to wait. I think an understandable response to that is to say, does that mean we're complacent people? We just sit around while evil happens and think that it's nothing to do with us? No. The church is still called to be distinctive from the world that it's in. We read this parable in context after the Sermon on the Mount and as part of this series of Kingdom of Heaven stories that all call the people who follow Jesus to a new way of living in the world. We're still to be people who say no to evil, by the Spirit to put to death the misdeeds of the body so that we can live. And the quite stark end of that story in Matthew shows us that there is still an ultimate judgment on evil. The explanation of that story that Jesus gives makes that really clear. The weeds will be weeded out eventually, but by God. So we're to wait patiently. I think that's an active, expectant waiting that reading in Romans sets out so beautifully from Paul. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. And while we wait eagerly, we need to be willing to grow alongside one another, to accept our own limits to understanding whether other people are wheaty or weedy. And I think throughout this, we need to keep asking God in our walk with God to give us wisdom and discernment to live in line with God's point of view on the mixed harvest that will always be in this world. And while we wait, we are called to be wheat, the people of the kingdom. We're called to follow Jesus in all the ways his word tells us to. We're called to build the kingdom of heaven, and that includes by refusing to judge other people and put ourselves in the place of God, the way I think the wider world is really comfortable doing. So when we're tempted to rush, to judge, or to exclude, or to sort people, let's instead ask God to help us wait and to become more like wheat. As in everything God calls us to do, God goes before us and sets our best example to live in this way. In Scripture, we see God's own practice of patient waiting with us, his people, as we get it wrong again and again and seem to be only weeds, good for nothing. We see Jesus' ultimate righteousness, which makes being wheat a possibility for us. And the Spirit's leading of us into right living and relationship with God. All of which means that we and one another might be less just weeds and more like the various plants that Ruth took us through, with that potential to be something more with God than others might see on the outside. So, we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. Amen.